Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stephen B.
What up, dude?
Hey, man. It's that wonderful week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yes.
Where you're like, what do I do?
Well, that's what the dangerous part is for me. Because we haven't talked in like 3 days or something.
I know, which is... like
maybe four. I don't even know.
It's an anomaly. It's weird.
That's a record. That's a record for the 2.5 years we've been doing this, or 3 years.
Yeah, I think so.
But,
I was still thinking about you.
I was texting you. You weren't returning my text, but I was texting you. It was amazing. So yeah, it's been good, man. I've gotten a lot of sleep, which has been amazing. Mm. You know, some in-laws are over, which has been great. Great help with Brooklyn.
Nice. And right.
Teaching. So my wife, she thought it'd be an awesome idea to get my 6-year-old roller skates and a skateboard.
Oh man. Did you get any helmets or pads?
She's padded up. I'm like, honey, what are you doing? It's like, you're going to have to put the freaking bubble wrap around her.
And,
Brooklyn's like, she'll do anything. She's like, I want to do it by myself. I want to skate by myself.
Sure.
So I'm teaching her how to skateboard right now. And she's
awesome, dude.
She just learned how to ride her bike. Like last week, which is amazing.
She's mobile.
So she's doing, it's pretty awesome. But I just, I said, honey, you're doing the roller skates. I'm not doing the roller skates. Because my wife had roller skates as a kid and she broke her arm.
Yeah. Well, I had roller blades. I didn't know roller skates were back.
They're back.
Why?
Well, first of all, we'd much rather have those than roller blades.
Really?
Yeah, probably. I guess it depends on what generation you grew up in.
Well, that's the thing.
Did you ever go to skating rinks as a kid?
No, but
like
I think generation
rinks.
Yeah. I think generation, throw that away. Like, because I know people associate roller skates with like the 80s and roller blades with like the 90s and 2000s.
Sure,
take all that away.
And spandex.
Take all that away. Let's take all that away. Let's just talk about the practicality of both things. And roller skates, you have to be on top of the wheel.
Sure.
So there is the only protection is that little knob in the front.
I think roller skating is more dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. The roller blades, if you are riding that edge, I feel like you have more control.
Well, I think they'll come back too, honestly. Like roller skates will have
Are they gone?
I sure hope so.
Are roller blades gone? Are people not using them anymore?
I have not seen anyone, and I'm at the beach a lot.
Right, sure.
They're not wearing rollerblades. No, they're not skating on rollerblades.
Dude, that's great exercise too, though.
Yeah, it's just usually, it was the attire that people would have on. They'd have spandex on. For some reason, that's all I remember is guys in spandex using rollerblades with those Oakley shades.
The Oakley, yeah. Like, are you really worried about, are you really worried about wind drag when you're rollerblading? Like, are you going for a land speed record here?
I'm like, there's no reason you need to shave your legs, buddy.
No.
you're on the bike path at the beach. Let's calm down.
Settle down.
But the roller, most of our listeners are going to be able to relate with roller skating and roller rinks.
Right.
Because we always had skate night at school a few times a year, and it was the most magical time ever.
Really?
Because the parents dropped the kids off for two
and
to
then
three hours
them up in casts
and then pick them up. And that's when you all skate couples only.
Sure.
You, what the hell is that? You put your right foot in, you put your right foot out.
The hokey pokey.
You do the hokey pokey.
Even when you're in high school
on roller skates.
I mean,
grade,
if you're
going to
roller skates, then it's funny. Cause it's a different thing.
It's eighth grade, seventh and eighth grade.
Sure.
So that's where the magic happened. You might've, got a little kiss in,
little schnooker
somewhere, maybe. Yep. So, But there's roller rinks now. There's one down near me, and I'm going to see if I can rent it out. I'm sure it's closed because of COVID. So
sure.
I would like, hey, you need to make some money? Let me just rent this out for the day or for 3 hours.
That'd be cool, man.
I'll give you $20.
Yeah, right. Finoli got a skateboard too. And
oh, really?
Yes. She wanted a skateboard. I don't know.
Wow, it's about cool. It's California, buddy.
Six-year-olds wanting skateboards. I don't know what it is. She does not want to wear the pads.
Got to wear the pads.
Well, that's the thing.
Got to wear the pads.
Because she saw someone else in the neighborhood, one of the older girls, mm-mm, not wearing anything. Mm-mm. And we're like, no, absolutely not.
Tell her Uncle Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Has wiped out numerous times.
Yes.
On a skateboard. And it hurts.
We were going to show her, like, the like professional skateboarders wearing all that stuff. And
oh yeah.
You know, like,
and Sheree's brother teaches skateboarding in Nashville.
Oh really?
To kids. Yeah. To exactly our age kids. And
does he have any cool YouTube videos that I can watch?
I don't know, but I did watch a few, but you gotta have all those. I mean, we have the wrist support.
I almost feel like the wrists are almost the most important.
100%.
Because you can skin your knee, you can skin your elbow, but you can break a wrist.
Yeah, not good. So that's why they have the wrist support ones. You have the metal ones in there?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have them.
But what they're doing now is it's in the living room, and they're Finola's in the front, June is in the back, and they're just riding it around the living room, like on their butts.
Okay, great. That's fine. And that might be the extent of it, by the way.
They call it the Express.
Yeah.
They just go back.
It's like the monorail. That's the General Hospital Express.
It only goes front. It only goes like, you know, it doesn't turn around.
Yeah, it just goes. It's like the bullet train.
Yeah. Yes. This is nice. Like, it's nice to have something to do in this down week.
Like, yeah, dude, they love it, man. It's like, let's go skateboarding. Let's roller skate. Let's, you know, and it's freaking 20 minutes to get all the pads on.
They're not my kids are not as interested about, like, I wanted to go for a bike ride because it's like 50s, 60s. And they're like, no, we do that in the summer. And I'm like, no, it's not cold outside.
Yes.
Let's do that.
So my wife got me a phone. Yes.
Yay.
Yes. She bought me a phone that I never would have bought myself. So it's awesome.
Does it work differently? Does it work better?
It's amazing. It's amazing. I changed the SIM card myself.
Oh, it's right, because you have a different server than I do.
Oh, I'm going to brag about Verizon.
No,
I changed the SIM card myself. I didn't need the Jackal to do nothing.
Well, still when we're on the road, you're going to be like, I don't have any bars. And be like, because you don't have Verizon.
That's true.
Anyway.
I had Verizon until I moved somewhere. And I changed.
Oh, right. That's right.
So it's great, man.
Well, that's exciting. Awesome. So now we just need to get you a new computer, because all of your devices are, you know, way too old. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So
did you guys watch some holiday movies?
Dude, I watched this movie, dude. This is the weirdest holiday movie ever, called Fat Man.
What?
Yeah, it's called Fat Man.
Was it Jake in the Fat Man?
No, that was a good show, though. But Fat Man, this is Mel Gibson plays Santa Claus. This is the strangest holiday movie.
Is this super old?
Brand new.
That makes it even worse.
Brand new. I want you to watch it with your wife, not your kids.
Well, this certainly wasn't a Hanukkah movie.
This is not a kid's movie at all. This is really strange. This is really strange.
Wow.
I wasn't sure what to make of it.
Is it dark?
There's some darkness. But there's also some light. It's really strange. I want you to watch it.
Well, you know what movie we're definitely going to watch, even though honestly, watching holiday movies after the holiday is weird. It just feels weird.
Sure. Well, this is you could get away with this before New Year's.
Okay. But the one that we need to watch.
Yeah.
Is California Christmas.
For sure. We need to watch a California Christmas.
Right.
My mother-in-law watched it and she loved it. And she loves all those Hallmarkish movies. So she's
everybody,
like, oh, that was great.
Everybody loved it.
Everybody in the world loved it.
That's what I'm screaming. So we wanted to track down our friend and co-producer and co-star of California. Is it A California Christmas or just California Christmas?
I think it's A California Christmas.
California Christmas. Swix himself.
Yeah.
To talk about the process of creating it, of doing it, and
awesome.
Digesting the wonderful results of it.
It's a smash hit everywhere.
Smash hit.
Kind of like our song, Last Christmas.
Huge.
Here's Josh Swickard.
Hey, Josh Swickard.
Hey, Josh.
Take three.
Take three, amazing. Josh Swickard.
Amazing.
What's up, dude? How are you, brother?
Yeah.
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Doing good. So wait, hold on. Before we get into really why we're here to talk to Josh, you've been married how long now, Josh?
Just over a year. Year and 5 months.
All right. So
just some good quick math.
Yeah, that was good. That was fast. If it was any slower, that might have been a problem. So so what advice would you give somebody who's about to get married now? Not me, but I'm saying just in general, now that you've been married.
You guys would be so much better at answering this. I would say, all right, I was trying to be funny. I won't be funny.
Just I'm sure your wife would appreciate that.
Just try to outserve each other the whole time.
Interesting.
If you're doing your best to serve her and she's doing her best to serve you, it's a pretty nice thing you got going on there. So, that's my advice. Keep dating.
No, it's good. That's great advice because listen, men out there, make your wife feel loved and beautiful like every day and she'll do the same. And it's amazing.
And you're golden. Yeah,
look totally at the wisdom on you, Josh. Look
Josh,
at
that. That's really good, Josh. That's really good. All that wisdom came with that hat.
That's right. Hey, how cool is this? He's greater than I. Boom.
There you go. That's awesome.
Right?
Cool. I like that.
It's a cool hat.
Thanks. So last week on the podcast, we played a game called Chess or Checkers. And so now that we have you here, we're gonna check up. We were guessing whether or not which male characters on GH played either chess or checkers. And so without us revealing what we said about your character, do you think Chase is more of a checkers guy or a chess guy?
Well, I'll just, man.
Not Josh.
Not Josh. We're keeping. I mean, sometimes I would say the actors maybe bled into our choices. Maybe.
I would assume you guys said checkers.
Oh,
you would assume
that? Chess?
No, we did not say chess. Why would we say chess for Chase?
He thinks things through sometimes.
We said checkers, Chase.
Checkers, Chase.
Well, you're lucky we didn't say tic-tac-toe.
I was about to say I literally was about to say or option C, tic-tac-toe.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's right. That's what you gave Chad. I get it.
Well, actually, you know, talking about, it's wonderful that Steve brought up your first year of marriage, because in your first year of marriage, you guys, so one thing about my wife and I that we learned very quickly is that we like being around each other, but if we have a project to do, best to not do it together, like a home improvement project or something like that. And you and your wife just undertook not just a project, but like a project.
Yeah. Can you just give us a little, Josh, before we get into what you guys just did, can you just give us a little background of Lauren, so, of what Lauren does?
Yes. So Lauren, we met acting on a movie called Roped that's on Netflix right now. And she is an actress and she did every kind of Lifetime-y movie that you could think of and really knows that genre. And after, I don't know, her 20th movie, she was like, you know, the formulas are kind of the same. I could probably write. And her acting career, she like went through a 6-month period where she wasn't going out. She's like, I'm gonna start writing, and pumped out like 4 scripts. And they were really weirdly good. And she went to script school of journalism or something for a year. So that was kind of her knack growing up.
Cool.
And so she's a writer now too. And so when quarantine hit, we were talking with the producer that did Roped, the production company. And he was like, you know, we should do a Christmas movie. And we kind of, Lauren and I talked it out, and he was like, how fast could you write one? And she cranked it out in 9 days, 10 days. I mean, it was crazy. She's one of those people that, like, once she's focused, it's like game on, and she's upset with herself if she has to pee or eat because it ruins her focus.
Yes. You know, like, I agree. Yeah.
So she cranked it out. When she'd get stuck, I'd kind of like come in and I'd be like, what's the scene? And then we would basically just improv something and
that's amazing,
that
dude.
Would go in. And yeah, we kind of found a really fun, we'd never worked together in that capacity. And, on the kind of the front end, and it was fun. We both learned a lot about, I mean, she's an animal with writing, but I learned a lot about writing and so she writes it and we go into pre-production and we're having a bunch of Zoom meetings with the other producers going, how in the heck do we, cause there was one, I want to say maybe it was, what's his name? John Travolta maybe had a project going on in Georgia. But other than that, it was like one of the first SAG projects in.
And yeah. So can you tell us about like what time when she was writing this, what time of year was it? Like, when was it?
June.
Okay.
May, June. And then we started filming in July.
Wow.
Right. So yeah. Cause I mean, nothing was back at that point. And no. Like the, yeah. That second little blip in, wasn't the second peak kind of in June or like mm-hmm. around that time, like the post Memorial Day, you know, peak. Yep.
We were filming while the second little thing was going and we're going every day we were waiting for the phone call and it got a little dicey. But
so if I may ask you, when you were, you know, you talked about when she hit a bit of a roadblock or whatever, or was looking, you know, needed a little assistance to get through that scene or whatever, and you guys were talking it through. Did you already know at that point that you'd be playing the two characters that she was like, you knew that, yeah. Right?
So yeah, we were kind of shooting this with that in mind, just because Roped did okay. It didn't do great, but it did, you know, and I think Australia and New Zealand, it was top 10 and a bunch of random places. And so we were like, well, you know, maybe if we use the same director, same team, same crew, we could maybe take it to Netflix and say, you know, what do you guys think? It's the same team. The first one was kind of successful. What do you think? You know?
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, we wrote it with that in mind, hence why there's an old Harley motorcycle. And I was like, what's my dream movie here?
Yeah, right. Sure.
How do I put it in the script? And,
but that's such a cool, like, when you're thinking about writing it, you can like, obviously you're going to use your own brain to come up with the dialogue, but to be able to improv as yourselves, but the characters that you know you're writing like that doesn't seem like something that happens to most writers as an opportunity to have. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sounds pretty unique.
It was insanely fortunate. And we feel, you know, very blessed that we got to do it, let alone that it worked out.
Right.
And we found out early on, we didn't really lay any guidelines or rules, but we found out early on that we can work together. Okay. Kind of like what you were saying, where, I knew this was more her project than mine. And so we'd come in, I go, man, this scene, I'm telling you, babe, it needs this. And she's like, no, it doesn't because of this. And it could be that I had kind of an alpha mom growing up too, but I was kind of like, I get it. You know, that's cool. But
to have those conversations is great. I mean, cause either it solidified her point of view or maybe you added something to it,
totally.
But like what, like a good wall. I mean, you sounded like a great wall to bounce things off of.
Exactly. And yeah. And that's what happened. Sometimes she would use exactly what I say and it would be,
right.
It would be great. Or sometimes I would say this and it would just give her this idea. And then she took it here, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, but well, even while we were filming, I mean, we both have that, thankfully in our relationship where I can be like, hey, babe, do another take. It didn't hit. I know what you want and it didn't hit. And then she'd be like, oh, got you.
Today's episode of That's Awesome is brought to you by Magic Spoon.
Growing up, cereal is one of the best parts of being a kid, right? Who didn't eat a bowl of cereal every morning?
Sometimes when you get back from school too. Or sometimes if you had a crazy day and parents were just like, hey, cereal for dinner. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. But the downfall to that was you're just basically eating a bowl full of sugar.
Oh,
and you shouldn't probably eating a bowl full of sugar for breakfast. So that's where Magic Spoon comes in.
Oh my gosh.
They are amazing. It brings you right back to childhood. I've actually been eating this cereal way before they even sponsored the show because I found it and I love it and I eat it. Go ahead, Brad. Tell them.
So they have four flavors that are going to please you to no end. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry, and zero sugar. 11 grams of protein and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. It truly tastes amazing. It tastes like you're getting away with something. It's totally keto friendly. Am I saying keto right, Steve?
Keto friendly.
Gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free. Okay, so this has been a big deal because we're putting Juna on a gluten-free diet. Magic Spoon's been great for her. And you made me think about Magic Spoon in a whole different way. I was just like, oh, cool, cereal that isn't a whole bowl full of sugar. But what you made me realize, it's not just, it can be a more complete meal
for sure
than I thought of it.
Yeah.
Especially, and that was a big deal because I'm like, oh, a bowl of cereal, but I should have something else, or I should have. No, this couldn't be it.
No, yeah, it could be it because our kids and most kids don't like to eat a lot of protein, right?
Right.
Right. They're usually carb heavy. Kids love snacks. They love all the snacks. But with Magic Spoon, you put a little almond milk in there, then you're getting healthy fats, a little more protein. With Magic Spoon, you're getting the protein and not all the sugar. So it's great. And I love it, and I eat it, and my kids eat it, and it's amazing. So Magic Spoon is it.
I've got through the variety pack, so I've had all four flavors.
Nice.
I love mixing them up. I always love to have chocolate. I always love to have cocoa as the base because then you get the cocoa milk. Come on.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So anyway.
And if I'm not lying, I do grab handfuls on the way by the pantry every now and then.
Go to magicspoon.com/ that's awesome to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code, that's awesome, at checkout to get free shipping.
That's right. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, and so are we. It's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund you your money. No questions asked. That's magicspoon.com/ that's awesome. And use the code that's awesome for free shipping.
We thank Magic Spoon for sponsoring the podcast.
Thank you, Magic Spoon. So let me ask this. Anytime a movie gets green lit, right? Mm-hmm. There's usually people, you know, the production companies giving notes back to you guys mm-hmm. about the script. How many passes were there? That's my first question. And then the second question, on set, if something didn't work dialogue wise, obviously, were you able to change it pretty easily? And did you do that too? So two questions.
Yeah. So Lauren finished it. And then a guy on the team at this production company did a run through it, and he was like their structure god, he knows structure better than anything. Then a second guy ran through it, and he is a very good comedy guy, and so he would take the jokes that Lauren was going for and just up the joke a little bit.
Awesome.
And so there were two main passes, and then we had Warner Brothers just. I think we can talk about this. Warner Brothers distributed the movie, and so there was a guy at Warner that was kind of reading the script, and he's like, I don't like this, I like this. And so we were literally up in the hotel day before we start filming and almost cut a character out, brought him back in. I mean, it's like amazing. real big stuff.
Sure.
And it ended up working out. And then we would get on the day, we'd have a moment where something wouldn't hit, or I'd have an idea and be like, whoa, what if he did this instead? And I'd run it to Lauren. I'd run it to the director, Sean. And they'd be like, "That's try it, see what happens." And that's the cool thing that's from our medium that we don't really have the opportunity to do is you want to do something absolutely wild. You can kind of do that and it's not as much time as money. It was a little bit,
sure.
We were really tight. I mean, we were shooting. So for film, if you shoot an 11-page day, that's ludicrous.
That's a huge day.
Yeah. In daytime, we're shooting 100+ every day. But we were shooting really long days that we didn't have. We'd get 2-3 takes.
Yeah. So how many days was your shoot?
We did 2 6-day weeks. So we did basically 14, 15 days. Yeah. We did a couple pickup days. But it's so funny. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling. You guys are
No, this is great. That's what people want to hear.
It's really funny that this worked out because the budget, I don't want to talk exact numbers, but the budget was small. I mean, it was small. We didn't have a casting director, for instance. Sure. Everybody in this movie, someone knew, and we called them. We're like, would you come on and do this project?
These two guys didn't get a call. And that's awesome. Hey, happy pandemic, bastard.
Well, if you notice, the cast is literally five people.
No, the cast is literally 30 and under. Thank you. I could have played a grandpa rancher or something. But, come on.
No, but
that's awesome, dude. I mean,
it was so small and the have you seen the movie yet? Not to put you on the spot.
I've seen some of it. I have not seen the whole thing yet. We started watching.
You guys didn't watch it. It's fine. I don't need good excuses. It's cool.
No, my wife and I are planning to watch it in the next couple of days.
Someone said that you take your shirt off, so I'm waiting for that scene.
Okay. Yeah, I do. It's not great, but it is off. But so in the very beginning of the scene, or in the movie, I'm on a motorcycle, kind of like ripping through San Francisco. And then there's other scenes where there's a montage of me working or Lauren driving a car. And those were literally before we started filming. The director brought his Black Magic out and I would go with him. And it's the two of us just shooting B-roll.
That's awesome.
I mean, like stuff that's like, it's so, this should not have worked. That's why it did.
Sometimes that's why it works. Funny.
So I think one of the things that, you know, cause obviously you said you had a small budget. And so one of the things that I imagine maybe our listeners are thinking about, like, oh, well it's on Netflix. Didn't Netflix pay you to do this movie? So, and you said you had a different production company. So like when people see things on Netflix, I don't think they necessarily know how they got there or assume they started there. And so obviously you thought maybe they'd be interested in it because they did a movie, you know, you did a movie with them before, but the process of bringing it to them, did they have a sniff of it before you started filming it? Or did you finish it and say, hey, look what we have?
We kind of finished it. We checked around while we were filming to see if anybody would be interested. But the deal didn't go through until 4 weeks after we finished production.
Right. So that being said, you had to spend the money knowing that there could not be hoping that it got picked up. So in Hollywood, for the people who are listening, it's very rare that you're doing a movie that's going to be distributed. If it's this is kind of an independent film, right? Mm-hmm. You guys came up with the idea, you wrote the script, you're ready to shoot, but it's not often a script or a movie like yours gets picked up before it's finished and they're not giving you the money. So you got to roll the dice and go, hey, okay, let's spend a little money. Let's do it. We do have maybe some interest, but we don't have a guarantee. Correct? Mm-hmm.
That's the situation. Yeah. And then Netflix, I think, has the opportunity to just take it. So Roped, the first movie we did, they just took, and it's not a Netflix original. And I don't know why this happens, but when they did take Cali, they said, or California Christmas, they said, this will be a Netflix original. So it's, awesome. You know, one of their main things. So that's super exciting, but yeah, it's, they can come and say, hey, we have an idea on this movie, and they can be a part of the whole thing and fund the whole thing. Or they can purchase it after and that stuff is still, I'm still learning all that stuff. So,
hey, so it's called A California Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was number one on Netflix.
It's still number one in the world. Today's day 8, I think. Number one in the world.
Dude, that's pretty amazing.
I know. I know. That's, it's so weird.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, that's better than winning an Emmy.
Well, I haven't done that. So.
Well, you don't need to now. Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
How does that translate to...
Josh, what did I text you? Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
I go, do you have a deal for the second one yet? You should today. Let's go.
And he goes, yeah, we're about that exactly, but there's a sequel.
There's opportunities.
Probably.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
So, I mean, obviously when anything, whether it's in media or sports or whatever, when something works, the first instinct is like, okay, how do we recreate this? It worked. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so now in terms of you and Lauren, do you have that same thought? I'm not talking about like a sequel. I'm talking just about in terms of like how you did this and the success and I imagine you enjoyed it. So like, has that opened up other ideas in your brain? Like what else can we do, not just like repeat this, but like maybe there's other stuff we want to do, like, you know, and not, you don't have to be specific, but I'm curious to open a box of creativity in any way.
It did very much. I mean, it's for us, we laugh. I mean, there's no way that this happened, you know, to us, you know,
and awesome. So
we're so, you know, just dumbfounded that we're in this situation. And there's a mixture of feelings for me, because I know how quickly it comes and how quickly it goes when it comes to this industry. And so, you know, you can try to, and that's the fear is, oh, we have a hit, like let's do another one. And how many times does the second movie of a sequel just suck, you know?
Sure.
And with that situation, we just kind of had lightning in a bottle. It was so many different factors and all come together at the right time and the stars aligned. And so, yeah, there's definitely an anxiety of the next one has to be as good, or the next one has to be better. And that, to learn how to let that go, you know, I'm still processing that. But for sure, I mean, Lauren's talking about different writing projects now. She's in development on a little TV show. I'm just trying to keep my head above water at General Hospital. So
now, what list of credits do you have on this film? Obviously, you're in the cast. But
I'm a producer and an actor.
Sweet. You're a producer, so
co-producer. Yeah,
is that your first producing credit or no?
Mm-hmm.
Right,
first producing credit.
Are your reps or does it feel different? Like, does it feel like I?
You're a little more proud of it. You're,
well, sure. There's
like with Roped, it's, oh, go see that movie that we were in. Right. It's really cool. And this is like, oh my gosh, this is our baby. What did you think? You know, like,
yeah. Sure. Tell me, well, there's a vulnerability to that too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also in terms of like you've been waiting on one end of the phone for most of us wait on one end of the phone for the bulk of our career. Once that changes though, once you're like, I don't need anybody to call me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to make my stuff, or I'm going to, like, there is something that does to you. And it's a really cool claiming of power in an industry where we don't feel power very often. And is that registered at all?
Yes and no. I mean, I have this forever self-deprecating approach to life that I am continually working on. But with that comes, there's probably a hint of humility that I can't shake. And so I'm very acutely aware that it's all fluff. Like, it's a great opportunity and hopefully something comes of it. We're going to work like hell. But yeah, the 13-year-old in me that casting, you know, I got 17,000 no's for two yeses. And so it's like that side of me is like, I went and made something, you know? Like,
but
we just, we look at each other and we're stoked. So who knows what'll happen, but we're living in the moment as best we can.
Right.
Your humility is always going to serve you, but at the same time, that is you're in a good place to, you know, to feel like, you know, walking around, you know, feeling power does not mean that you're a jerk, you know? So
yeah,
kind of does.
No, as long as you don't lord it over anybody, but you feel it.
Sure.
Feel it.
No, yeah. It feels good. Yeah. I mean, you've accomplished something.
It's a door opener, you know,
sure.
And that's the way you have to, that's the way you have to look at it. And, you know, it's onto the, try to think like, oh, that was cool. Check it off your list. On to the next one.
Yeah, sure. Totally.
And not dwell on it too much.
Okay. So I know, you know, I was thinking, I go, how's the, okay. They said a California Christmas. Did you just go through the states? Because I went through a lot of the states and like a South Dakota Christmas doesn't sound good. Right. Like a North Dakota Christmas doesn't sound better.
Yeah,
like,
well,
so there's
imagine...
only about five states that work if you go through the states. So,
well, yeah.
And a title is always important with a movie, but when you're on a streaming service and you're like, people are scrolling, how much thought do you put into a title?
This one was very, I think actually I may have came up with it, the other executive producer, but yeah, we just, let's, because we wrote this with location in mind. We knew the production company that we worked with has ties in Northern California. They know a lot of places they can film. We had some locations beforehand that we were like, okay, what if it's on this, you know, this farm or this dairy farm or whatever? It had to be a California Christmas because we didn't have the budget for a Colorado Christmas
or snow.
Hey, I live in Sacramento. If you're looking for a local hire for anything else, so.
Look, this guy's not changing, Josh. He's always going to be.
You asked first.
I did not ask. I joked.
That was a joke too.
No, was it?
Maybe
there was no joke in there at all. And they're not doing a Sacramento Christmas, by the way, next. Okay. Hey, a Sac Christmas starring Bradford Anderson.
Christmas in Old Sac.
Old Sac coming to Christmas.
Oh man,
that's amazing, dude. Turn. So how's life at GH treating you? I know it's been
life is good.
We talked to you. I know there's a lot of shakeups on the show right now. So what's
there
happening?
Are. Yeah. Last time I walked into my dressing room, my name was still on the door. So I'm very thankful.
Right.
Every blue moon, I just check it.
By the way, that's not how you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's not?
Going. No.
Oh, yeah. Shoot.
They don't pull the name first. That's the last thing to go.
Oh, shoot. So,
but you had some baby, like, who's got the baby now?
Yeah. What's aired so far that we could talk about?
Baby.
Wiley and you've been switching babies and girls.
I've been viewing that storyline. I'm kind of in it. I'm kind of not. I never had the baby, but Chad and Katie, Michael and Willow, that's their thing.
Okay,
but
Chase, so are they together?
Chase and Willow used to be a thing, or is it Chase and Sasha? Michael and Sasha and Chase and Willow. Did you switch gals?
No, they got together, and then I became friends with Sasha, but we never had a romance. We faked a romantic relationship to get them to fall in love so they can save the baby.
Okay.
Oh, so it was all altruistic. Nice work.
Sure.
I did it for the love.
So what is aired? Who's with who right now on air? We don't know.
I think they are figuring out if they want to be how serious they want to be. And I'm hoping to get Willow back and we're seeing where things go.
Wait a second. So you wanted them to be together for the baby, but now you want her back?
Because the woman that was trying to steal the baby is now dead.
Oh, Nell. You mean Nell?
Nell.
Yeah.
Janelle. Yes. Nell, Janelle.
Yeah.
Nell's first full name was Janelle.
Yes.
Nobody calls her Nell except for me. And then I call her Janelle. It's like my character shtick.
Yeah. Janelle. Because they knew each other before he came to town.
She was my first love and trashed my career.
This is what our listeners really come to our show for.
And this is what we never
bumbling over storyline.
No, it's actually true. They want to hear this and we never talk about it.
The problem is they all know it way better than we
do. That's the thing.
That's like, Josh, for sure
wrong.
The thing.
These dumb idiots that are on this show that they know nothing about.
Oh man.
Man.
All right, what do you got popping for the holidays, dude? You staying around? What are you doing?
We're staying in town. We're trying to be safe. Some of Lauren's family is here, so that's sweet. So cool. So we're seeing them and we're not going anywhere. Just trying to take the COVID thing as serious as possible.
Cool, dude.
That's good thinking.
Well, listen, tell Lauren congratulations.
Yes.
I will let her know.
I'm still confused on how to spell her name, but just tell her that I said Lauren.
Some of the acting one was before funny story. There was a Lauren York that was an actress that wore less clothes. And so she got, I don't know if she would want me telling this on this interview, but she got booked on a modeling job and showed up and they're like, wow, you look so different than your pictures. And she was like, I'm sorry, what picture are you talking about?
And what job did I say yes pictures. To?
Yeah. And she pulled up those pictures and it was not her. And so she changed it to Lorynn.
Got
it. And then once we got married and it was Lauren Swickard, then she just went back to Lauren Swickard.
Okay, cool. Because I was confused, dude. I was confused. I was online. Wait a minute. What's going on here? But tell her.
I think her Instagram is now just Lauren Swickard, so you could use that.
Cool. Well, everybody who hasn't seen California Christmas, check it out on Netflix. Josh, congratulations to you and Lauren. Yeah. You guys enjoy. Man. I mean, this is awesome. You guys have this over a break with family. Enjoy it.
Right.
Feel the power, as Bradford says, and start ordering everybody around.
Well, and the great thing is, since it's the holidays, nobody people are going to say what's next, right? They do that with everything. Sure. But
everything's closed, so we can say
everything's closed. you can just revel in this. Yeah, so
that's right.
That's awesome, dude.
But I love it. It's like the Wachowskis, the Swickards. You're the next power player. I love it.
Love it. Good for you guys,
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much.
All right, brother. Have a great Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll see you at work, pal.
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, congrats to Josh. I'm so excited for them. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see what else they do. Not just for the content, but for their life. I'm excited for their life.
I mean, creators.
She's
obviously, she's got the writing aspect down, right? Because she's written a few of these. So, for people getting in the industry, if you can write,
man,
you're literally writing your own ticket.
Yes.
Like that's really the most important job in Hollywood is writing.
Yes.
And if she's writing and they'll probably get a production deal or do a second one or a third, whatever it is,
whatever.
So exciting.
It is.
It's so great because they're creating, they're doing what they love to do. They're having success at it. You couldn't have two nicer people garnering that success. So that's so awesome. I'm so happy for them and proud of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so great in this year of all years to see people flexing other, challenging themselves to do different things. And our version of that is dumb YouTube videos. And
hey, man, watch your mouth. We love making dumb YouTube videos. And
sure
I got to say, we're really good at it.
Hey, we found something.
So if you haven't seen our dumb YouTube channel, Go check it out.
I got to say, we got some, obviously there's some diverse content over there. And by that, I mean, it's not all just dumb.
No, man, we're having a good time over there.
Yes. So, we have bad jokes, which is silly. And we have, we watch specific chosen scenes from General Hospital past, scenes that we've been in, scenes that we haven't been in, and speak over them and provide commentary, which is a good time for us and hopefully a good time for you.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we throw in something that requires some skill and some, dare I say, talent.
And what would that be?
Like our music.
Okay, perfect. Yes. I was hoping you were going there.
Right. Yeah. We recently, for the holiday, we had recorded a version of Let It Snow with James Patrick Stewart and Marcus Coloma that we used for our holiday party, our holiday show on Patreon. Mm-hmm. And then we released it on our YouTube page last week. And it's being passed around a lot. And it's
getting
very
a lot of views.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. And to see, we recorded it remotely. So it's us in Brady Brunch square boxes. But, it's super fun. It's only 2 minutes long.
2 minutes. You did a great job editing it.
Oh, thanks.
That just adds to we did last Christmas. We did a fun video for that.
Yes.
And then we did Africa by Toto, which was awesome.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to mix it up over there. And there's a lot to watch. If you haven't gone over there, there's a ton to watch. We do a great show called Seven Questions, where we have pretty much everybody on General Hospital
by
answering
now,
seven fun questions, and it's a blast.
Yeah. So
go check out the YouTube channel.
Yeah, you can get there by going to our website, stonecoldandthejackal.com, which is a good jumping off point for just about everything. We've had some great guests on the podcast this month.
Yeah.
And so if you're new to the podcast
this year, yeah.
This March, we will be 3 years of this podcast.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot, dude.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, but it's been so much fun, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks again to Magic Spoon for sponsoring, and
thank you guys.
We hope you have a great new year.
Happy New Year's Eve. I say 2021's got to be better.
God, if it's worse, we're in some major trouble.
I know, dude. I know. It's going to be better.
Trouble.
So
let's
happy New Year, everybody. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you.
We surely do.
And go check out YouTube.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Did you know there's a way to get even more Stephen Bradford? Join your two favorite guys on Patreon. Daily content, weekly lives, monthly virtual hangs, a bonus podcast where you pick the topics, discounts on merchandise, unique Patreon-only virtual parties, and more. If you can't get enough of Stone Cold and the Jackal, you've got to be on Patreon. More interaction and more access than ever before. Go to stonecoldandthejackal.com and click on exclusive access. Stone Cold and the Jackal on Patreon. Join the fun.